Questions are something that we face every single day in life. From the moment we arise in the morning from our beds to that time when we finally put our head on the pillow, we have been faced with many different types of questions. Some are very simple, easy to understand, and the answers are very forthcoming, while others are more complicated, and a lot of thought and effort must go in before an answer is given. For example, if we're asked what we want for breakfast in the morning, that answer is very simple and very easy, and we can quite easily determine what we need to eat. However, if we're asked what 974 times 363.9 is, very few of us will be able to give the answer straight away, and there will be a time of thinking and reflection and probably the use of a calculator before we can determine what the answer is. But each and every one of us are faced questions. For those who are very young in our service this morning, well, the questions usually are more straightforward and the answers easy to arrive at. Well, at least some of them are. And the questions usually revolve around when their next meal is, when will they get to play with their friends, and of course all mum and dads face this question every time when they are in the car. Mummy, daddy, are we there yet? Questions keep coming. But as we get older in life, the questions become more complicated and more important, and the answers more difficult to find. And for the young people in our service this morning, no doubt you have been faced with many questions as you have been growing up. And of course, mums and dads, grandparents and relatives, and well-meaning friends will always ask you the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And for some, the answer is very straightforward. You want to be a doctor, you want to be a chemist, a psychologist, an astronaut, a footballer, TV presenter, the list could go on. Sometimes it's very easy to determine what your career should be. But then for some of us, that question poses a problem because we don't quite know yet. And so there's a time of thinking before we can actually give an answer to the question. But then for those old people in the congregation, those no longer in youth, I better be careful what I say here, but the older people, I suppose 30 plus, might be safe. Well, it is a youth service after all. But for those older people, the questions that they face are of a greater significance. They have to consider things such as where they'll live, what house they'll buy, and of course, who they will marry. So as you can see, young people, as we get older in life, the questions that we face become even more difficult. But of course, the most important question that every one of us will face, no matter what age we are, is the important question of where we will spend eternity. Because that's a question that applies to all of us, whether young or old. And the answer is very simple. We either will be in eternity in heaven with God or in hell forever. What an important question. And one that needs to be answered by each and every one that is in our service this morning. So we've seen that questions come from all different angles and from all different people. And I want to pose another question this morning as we come to look at the passage of Scripture that we have read. And it's a question perhaps that very few of us have asked ourselves, but it's one that I believe that's important, and the response to it will determine and highlight our relationship with God. I wonder this morning if our friends and family, and those that we know, were to be asked the question, what our relationship to God was. I wonder what they would say. Young people this morning, if those that know you best were to be asked this morning about your relationship with God and your walk with God, I wonder what the response would be. The passage of Scripture that we have read together this morning highlights to us one particular individual, and this person was Caleb. Now, in the Young People's Fellowship, when I spoke a couple of times before, we've looked at the life of Gideon, and we've looked at the life of Samson, and this morning, young people, I want for us to take a few moments and look at this man, Caleb, that we have read of in the passage of Scripture. Because the question could so easily have been put to the people that Caleb knew, what his relationship to God was, and in six words, they would have been able to summarize Caleb's life and his relationship to God? And the answer very simply was, I have wholly followed the Lord. And I wonder, young people, this morning as we're gathered in this service, could that be said of you and I? Do we have that testimony? Do we have that relationship with God that we should have? That if we were asked of what our relationship and our testimony with God was, that those that know us could easily say, that young person, that boy or that girl, wholly follows after the Lord. And so there are three very simple thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning as we look at the life of Caleb. Notice first of all with me the commitment he showed. Now Caleb was born, no doubt, in Egypt under the captivity of Pharaoh. And under his early years, he would have been exposed to the torture that the children of Israel would have been given. They were there to, at the bidding of the Egyptians, to do all that they asked, to build the buildings and the structures that they wanted for their country. And so the Israelites were under a tremendous burden at the time. And Caleb would have seen what it was like to be under the dictatorship and the authority of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But no matter what he saw, he was still determined, and we can surmise that he was determined at all costs that he would simply do his best for God. We're given a brief summary, if you like, of his autobiography by Caleb himself in Joshua chapter 14 that we read just a few moments ago, because he was able to say in the verse 8, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And you know, as you read through the Old Testament, you'll discover that six times this phrase is used about this man, Caleb. It's spoken of Caleb by Moses in Deuteronomy 1 and 36. It's spoken of by Joshua in Joshua 14 and the verse 14. But there is one other commendation that is spoken of by this servant of God, and that's by the Lord himself. No greater commendation could any man ever receive than a word from the Lord himself. And the Lord was able to say, Caleb hath wholly followed the Lord. Now, I've used that expression quite a number of times already, and the question might well be posed, well, what does that mean? And how does that apply to me as a young person? What does it mean to wholly follow after God? Well, the best way to illustrate it is to give an example. And the example is of a traveler and his guide. The traveler wants to get to the destination, but in order to get there, he is totally reliant on his guide. And so, for example, if the person was sitting in Portadown Free Church car park and wanted to make their way down to Cork, way down in the south of Ireland, he would require directions as to how to get there. Therefore, he would be totally reliant on his guide, and he would be making sure that in the distance that was travelled, he would never allow such a distance to develop between himself and the guide that he would lose the path that he should be on. So it was for Caleb. When he was wholly following after the Lord, he was simply ensuring that at no point in time in his life that was he going to allow a distance to develop between himself and the Lord. He wanted to ensure at all times that that distance was as narrow as possible so that he could wholly follow after the Lord. In every step, in every direction that he would take, he would go the way the Lord wanted him to go. And surely, young people, that's something you and I should be aiming for. By contrast, we read in the New Testament of the Apostle Peter, and we discover that rather than being close to the Savior at a point in time in his life, he followed the Lord afar off. Caleb wasn't going to allow that to happen. He was being sure that there was going to be no distance to develop between himself and God. And notice with me, Caleb was somebody that walked with God. He walked with God. Throughout all his life on earth, he simply endeavored to be that individual that walked with God. We read of other such people in the Old Testament. We think of Enoch. We think of Noah and their testimony and their life were individuals that walked with God. They had that relationship with God. It didn't matter what the circumstances were around him. You think of Noah. And there he is, instructed to build the ark. And for 120 years, he's preaching forth to these people about the impending doom, about the sin in their lives. And yet, despite all of the ridicule and all those the people that despised him, it mattered not to Noah. He was going to walk with God. And I wonder, young people in our service this morning, is that your desire? To walk with God. I fear that there may be some in our service this morning, and perhaps at a time you did walk with God. You used to be in fellowship with him, but now something's come in. Something has taken over that first place in your life, and once where you used to fellowship with God, now finds you far away from him. Now, when you walk with someone, you would imagine that there's conversation. If you young people are walking down the street in Portadown, I would find it highly unlikely that the two of you or three of you will walk down a line the whole way down the main street in Portadown and never say a word to each other. Of course not. Because when you're walking with each other, you will be in conversation. You'll be discussing the things that affect you, the problems, the difficulties that you have. You'll be looking advice from each other as to how to deal with the situations and the problems that you find yourself in. You'll be looking to find that relationship and build upon it. And so if we're doing that in the human sense, if we're seeking to build relationships and friendships with each other and we're walking with each other, we're in conversation with each other, then how much more so in the spiritual sense? Because young people, if we're going to be those that are walking with God, then we're going to be in fellowship with God. We're going to be talking to him. We're going to be telling him about our problems and our difficulties that we're facing in life. We're going to be reading his word. We're going to be seeking his face in prayer that we can get guidance, that we can get direction in the path that we should go. Such was the life of Caleb here. He was wholly following after God because he was walking with God. But he not only was Caleb walking with God, Caleb was walking after God. Because Caleb was determined that he would follow in the footsteps of his Savior. Simply taking the path that the Lord had taken. You remember earlier when we talked about wholly following after the Lord, where the traveler would follow after the guide to ensure that he knew the path that he would take. And so it is here for us as believers, young people, we should be those that are seeking to walk after God. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us, "For even unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." So therefore, if we as young people are going to be those that are wholly following after God, we should be those people that are walking after God. And as we're going to see later, Caleb could so easily have followed after his other spies and companions and taken a path that was contrary to God's word. But no, he was determined, come what may, I will walk after God. Young people, the challenge comes to our hearts this morning. Are we those people that are walking after God? In those places that we attend, in those things that we do at the weekend or where we go, tell me, are the places that we attend those places that God would have gone into first? Because we should be inspiring to be only in those places where we know the Lord would have us be. And yet for so many young people today, it's the pub, it's the nightclub, it's those places where they should never be. And the Lord's never there. And so young people, if we are to be following after God and walking after God, then we should only be in the places that he wants us to be. And in the life of Caleb, that was evident. Because in everything he did, He simply sought to walk with God. He simply sought to walk after God. But notice also, he simply sought to walk for God. Because that was his ultimate purpose in life. And everything that this servant of God sought to do, he simply sought to do his best for God. Tell me, young person, what is your main aim in life? What's your ultimate goal? And you know, the question asked, so many people can come back and they'll want to earn lots of money, have the biggest car, the fastest car, the best looking girlfriend and wife. They'll want the TV presenter's job. They'll want all these things. And then, oh yes, pleasing God. You see, somewhere down the line, in the list of priorities, God comes into the equation. But it's after all these other things that seemingly become so important to them, and why they're saved and belong to Christ, somehow God doesn't become as important as he should have done. Is that what's happened to some of us this morning? God used to take first place in our life. And when we were saved, first saved, you'll remember when you were first saved. You were full of enthusiasm. You couldn't do enough for God. Perhaps something has come in now and the priorities have changed. And you're no longer enthusiastic and motivated about serving God and doing things for Him. Something's come in. And the Lord is no longer that first place in your life. The question is posed in the Shorter Catechism, what is man's chief end? And the answer, man's chief end is what? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And young people, as those that know Christ as Savior, that should be our ultimate goal. Simply to glorify God in everything that we say and do. But you know, I'm reminded of the words of the hymn, I have only one life on this earth. And as vapor it's passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth. Ere toil ends at the close of the day, only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. We've only one life on this earth, young people. And as such, we should be seeking to live it for God as best we can. Taking every opportunity to witness for our Lord and Savior of what He's done in our lives. The story is told of a man by the name of Bill, who confessed that he knew Christ in front of 500 men. He'd given his testimony and he told them that he had trusted Christ as Savior. And in response to his testimony, they started to ask questions. And the first question they posed to him, they said, Bill, do you really believe that every man without Christ is lost and on his way to hell? Bill replied, yes, I most certainly do. Bill, they further questioned, do you believe in the power of prayer? Of course I do, Bill boldly proclaimed. Of course I believe in the power of prayer. A man sitting halfway down in the company of people raised his voice and said, Bill, how much time have you spent in prayer for our lost souls this week then? Was the final question. Silence. And then, shamefully, he raised his head and Bill said, none. You know, it's so easy as young people to say that we belong to Christ. It's so easy to remember that point in time in our lives when we accepted Christ as our own and personal Savior. But I wonder this morning, young people, do we still have the same desire and enthusiasm, motivation to see our lost friends and family come to know Christ as Savior? You see, if we are those people that are walking with God, wholly following after God, then we'll want to do our best for Him. And young people in this church this morning, if you say you love the Lord, then you'll want to do your best for Him in this church, getting involved in whatever you can so that you can be used of God in a mighty and in a great way. Caleb was nothing special. He was just an ordinary person. But he was someone that determined while young in years that he would give his life to serving God. The commitment that he showed. But notice secondly with me the courage that he displayed. Because you see, not only was Caleb someone who wholly followed after God, he was also known as a man of courage. That's why we read the passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter 13. Because as we've noted already, here we have Moses sending out his spies into the land of Canaan to try and determine what problems, what obstacles lay across their path. So he sent out 12 spies and Caleb was one of them. And they spent their time searching out the countryside, what problems and difficulties might lie across the path of the armies as they came into that particular countryside. And Caleb's courage was displayed in a number of ways because, first of all, he was willing to face the giants in the land. And as you read through the passage of Scripture in Numbers 13, you will discover that the report comes back detailing that, yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, there's everything there that we could want. It's great and it's wonderful, but there's a problem. And of course, the spies report back and start to tell all the problems and all the difficulties that they're going to face if they go into the land of Canaan. There are going to be those people that are very strong. There are going to be the giants. There's going to be the difficulties. And you know what? We're not going to be able to do. There's no possible way that we could ever hope to defeat the enemies of God. We're not going to be able to do it. But what do we discover? Caleb's response. Caleb's response in Numbers 13 and verse 30 was very simple. He said, as far as I'm concerned, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What courage he showed. Yes, Caleb had seen the problems. Caleb had seen the difficulties. Caleb had seen those giants that seemed so tall and so huge and so insurmountable. But as far as Caleb was concerned, he believed God's word. And if God said the land was theirs, he was quite willing to take God at his word. And you know, it's very interesting to note what Caleb said. Because Caleb said, let us go up at once and possess it. Notice he didn't say, let us go up at once and conquer it. Because as far as Caleb was concerned, the battle was already won. God had given his word to his people that they would defeat the enemies of God, and Caleb simply believed that. And you know, young people, as you grow up through your Christian experience, you too will face many giants in your life. Many problems, many difficulties. Doubt and fear, the giants of financial problems, of friendships that end, of other problems and difficulties and obstacles that will come across your path. We've all faced them in this service this morning, those giants that come across our path. And so often, it's easy to become discouraged, disheartened, especially when the devil has been able to come in and attack us and to defeat us in some shape or form. But young people, always, always keep this in mind, that the devil is a defeated foe. He was defeated at Calvary. And so no matter what problems and giants that we as young people will face in our Christian life, we have got someone to turn to that's stronger and bigger than any. How are we going to be able to face the giants that will come across in our Christian experience? Simply by putting on the whole armor of God. Because with it, we will be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. We'll be able to fight against whatever giants and problems and difficulties come across our path when we put our trust and our faith in God. Caleb here was willing to face the giants in the land. But notice further, he was willing to simply take God at his word. We find that although Caleb has come and given this word of encouragement to the children of Israel that they are simply to go up and possess the land, we find that the other 10 spies aren't going to take it easy. They're determined to get their point of view across, and they continue in the verse 31, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Yes, I believe what Caleb said. Yes, there is a land that flows with milk and honey, but look at the problems, look at the difficulties. The people are strong, verse 28. The men are of a great stature, verse 32. They're stronger than we, in verse 31. And these cities, well, we could never possibly get through them or get past them because they're walled and they're very great. So you can imagine the children of Israel sitting listening to this report. This is a land the Lord's promised us, and Caleb tells us we can go up and possess it, but when you think of all the problems and the difficulties and the obstacles that are across our path, and we have these big, tall people, these giants, you know, if it wasn't bad enough that the people are stronger than we, we're now getting to hear about these giants, and as far as they're concerned, when they look down at us down below, we're just as grasshoppers in their sight. And if you were sitting in that congregation that day, listening to the report coming back, I'm sure you and I would have been terrified. Afraid of the problems and the difficulties that come across our path. And then we discover in verse 1 of chapter 14 that after hearing this, the children of Israel lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They were terrified. They were afraid of what they had just heard. But we find that Caleb and Joshua came to encourage them. You see, the fact was, the matter was this. The children of Israel had been given a word from God. They had been told to go up and possess the land. They had been promised the land by God. But at the first sign of an obstacle, at the first sign of a problem, they had completely forgotten about everything that God had promised them. And immediately they saw the problem, they saw the difficulty, and their immediate reaction was, "That's it for us. We might as well throw in the towel. It's all over. We can't possibly defeat the enemies of God." But we define Caleb here was simply taking God at His word. And it's easy for us to read the passage of Scripture and see that really these people had nothing to worry about, but when we bring it down to our own lives, young people, we're as guilty as the children of Israel. Because so often we face problems and difficulties like the giants we were talking about earlier. And there are those difficulties that we have to face. And we know that the Lord has said in His Word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But we kind of forget about that. And the problems and difficulties that come across our path somehow become so insurmountable that we can't possibly think about coming to God and leaving the problem with Him. And then we get all worried and frustrated and annoyed, and we get to the point of giving up rather than simply relying on the promises that God has given to us in His Word, "I'll never, never leave thee nor forsake thee." And young people, if we were just to take a grasp of that this morning and remember that God has said He'll always be with us, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, then perhaps we'd be quicker about bringing our problems and our difficulties to Him, because He's promised He'll always be there for us. You know, a verse that's always quoted to young people is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and the words are so true. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We know the verse, but young people, do we believe it? So often when we have problems and difficulties, we trust in the Lord. We give the problem to God. But at the same time as giving the problem to God, we take it straight back off Him again and continue to try and work out the problem ourselves. It's happened to me, and I'm sure it's happened many in our service this morning. We know we should leave our problems with God, but at the same time as leaving them with God, we somehow don't trust God quite enough to deal with them. And as a result, we take them back off Him again and try and resolve the problems. But you know, if we listen to the words of the verse in its entirety, We are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not to lean onto our own understanding in any way, but we're simply to acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. As one preacher once put it, he said, we don't trust God enough because we don't love Him enough. Because if we loved Him as we should, we would simply trust Him. And it would then follow that we would obey His leading and His guiding. And so young people this morning, if we're going to be those people that are willing to follow God as we should, then we must be willing to simply take God at His word. Our time is gone. I move on quickly. There's one other thing I want to note about Caleb's courage, and it's when we fast track into Joshua chapter 14. We discover here that Caleb is now 85 years of age. And he has faced so many problems and so many difficulties throughout his time on this earth. But you discover as you read through this passage of Scripture that he's determined to go on with God no matter the age that he was. And surely, young people, that should be a challenge to our hearts this morning. To keep following after God. May be easy to do it while we're the age we are now, but think forward into the future if God spares us. And there are many people in this church that can testify to the fact, perhaps, that they have followed God all the days of their life. But there's a challenge, too, for those that are older. You know, we've been looking at Caleb, and we've been addressing the young people, and we've been challenging them about their walk with God. But we see here in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb, 85 years of age, still going on with God, still promising that he'd do his best for God, saying, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go in and to go out. And then he concludes, if so be God will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 85 years of age, still trusting in God. Can that be said of those who are older this morning? Can it be said that still you're trusting solely in Christ, leaving all your problems and your difficulties with Him, wholly following after the Lord? The courage that he displayed, but let's notice quickly and finally the challenge he leaves. And surely the challenge is left by the testimony of Caleb himself. I have wholly followed the Lord. I wonder, young people, when it comes to the end of our lives, I wonder what our testimony will be. I wonder, are we going to determine this morning that come what may, what problems and difficulties we will face, that we will always aim to follow wholly after the Lord. To walk for Him. To walk after Him. To walk with Him in everything that we do. You know, I'm often reminded of the words of that hymn, By and By, when I look in His face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on His face, I wish I'd given Him more. I wonder this morning, young people, will that happen for us? We're saved and we love the Lord, but are we serving Him? And is it going to come on that judgment day when we stand before the Lord, that we have to say, I wish I had given Him more? Young people, serve God as best you can. Follow after God. Trust Him. Do everything you can to do your best for God. But I couldn't leave the message without challenging those that don't know Christ as Savior. Because for the majority of this message, we've looked at Caleb and his walk with God. And we've seen how he's been able to get through things in his life, and we as Christians are able to because we have that relationship with God. But I fear for some in our service this morning, you're here, but you've never had that relationship with God. You've never known what it is to walk
with God.
And tonight, this morning, finds you far, far away from Christ. And you know, many young people who are saved, when the problems and difficulties they face in life, they have the Lord to turn to because He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I often wonder with people that know not Christ as Savior, how they're able to get through the problems and difficulties in life when they don't have that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you know, just as we look there at how many saved people, when they stand before the Lord, may have to say regretfully, I wish I had given Him more. How awful it would be for some in our service this morning to stand before the judgment throne of Christ, and instead of hearing, well done, thy good and faithful servant, the Lord's to look at you. And He simply says those awful words, depart from me, I never knew you. How awful it would be if someone in our service this morning was to hear those awful words and end up in a Christless hell for all of God's eternity. Young person, don't let your life go to waste. Come to Christ now while you can. Accept His offer of mercy in the gospel. And who knows what the Lord will be able to do with your life. You know, there are many people that don't live up to their name. There are many kings that are not kingly in their manner. There are many Christians, sadly, who are not Christ-like in what they do. But Caleb was one of those characters who lived up entirely to his name. For his name meant wholehearted or according to the heart. And he was the type of person that lived his life with all his heart, whatever he did, whatever he said, wherever he went. He was simply a man that wholly followed after the Lord. Young people, may that be said of each and every one of us when it comes our time to die. We were simply young people who wholly follow the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this morning.